All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Glad to be here.
So today, we're diving into a case that's, I guess you could say, pretty monumental in patent law.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely a big one.
Phillips v. Aki AWH Corporation. And it really set the stage for how we interpret patent claims, to this day.
Yeah, I mean, it's the foundation, right? A claim construction is the foundation of any patent case. Before you even think about infringement, validity, any of that, you got to figure out
Right.
what do these words actually mean in the patent?
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what we're talking about here is how do we figure out, it's not just about going to the dictionary, It's not just about a layperson's understanding, but how does a technical expert look at this patent and define these, sometimes really complex terms?
And especially, it's not just like an abstract technical expert. It's an expert
Right.
in the field of the invention.
Right.
You know, they were working on building materials, so it's somebody who understands building materials, not just some random engineer.
Right, exactly. And so, we've got our sources here, and we're ready to kind of unpack why this case is just so crucial for anyone in the patent world, especially, I mean, for our listeners, especially our law students out there,
Yeah, it's a foundational case and it's been cited, thousands of times. So it's
Yeah,
something you're going to see
it
come up
is.
over and over again.
Absolutely. And I think it really helps illustrate, this tension, this fundamental tension that we always see in patent law between just the plain meaning of the terms used and then, how the inventor describes it in the patent itself.
Like what they chose to write down.
Exactly. And how those two sometimes can clash. And so, we'll kind of jump into it here. Just to set the scene, Edward Phillips, he patented these modular steel panels, the type that you see in prisons or other high security places. And a key feature were these things called baffles. And they were meant to deflect projectiles and just make these,
Make them strong.
strong, yeah, super strong. So they were designed for strength and also to protect,
Well, I mean, and that's part of the question, right? What were they designed for? I mean, we can kind of read into it now, but that's for later.
That's for later. That's a good point. Yeah, we'll get into that. But along comes AWH Corporation, and they come up with a similar panel, but their internal structures, they also call them baffles, but they were at a 90-degree angle. And so Phillips sued for infringement, naturally.
Of course.
And AWH is like, hold on, wait a minute. Our 90-degree structures don't really fall under the definition of baffles as Phillips defined them in his patent. So, classic patent case, right?
Absolutely. And this one went up and down the court system too,
Yeah. Tell me about that.
So it started, in the district court, the trial court, and they sided with AWH.
Okay.
And they said, yeah, basically the baffles, they have to be angled for this projectile deflection.
Okay.
And if they're not angled, they're not baffles,
Okay.
So Phillips appealed that, of course, up to the Federal Circuit, which is
Yeah.
our patent court.
Right. Good.
And, at first, a three-judge panel, they agreed with the district court.
Okay.
But then Phillips requested what's called an en banc rehearing,
Okay.
which means all the judges on the Federal Circuit hear the case.
So this is a big deal now, right?
I mean, they don't do that very often.
Right. It means they think something's up.
That there's something important here that needs to be looked at more closely.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Federal Circuit was like, yeah, no, we're gonna overturn this. And so it really boils down to, what does baffles really mean in the context of this patent?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right, because does it require an angle for this specific function of deflecting things? Or could it also include, AWH's 90-degree structure, which might function a little differently?
And what does the patent say?
Right, exactly. Exactly. And that's what makes it so important, right?
Because this isn't just about baffles.
Like,
This
oh
is
yeah.
about how do we interpret all patent claims.
Right.
Every patent case is going to have to figure out, what are the key terms and how do they apply?
Right. What are the ground rules? Right. Okay, so tell me about this Federal Circuit decision, the en banc decision.
So the majority opinion was written by Judge Bryson,
Okay.
and they said, look, there's this thing called the ordinary and customary meaning rule,
Okay.
which means we interpret words in a patent based on how a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand them,
Okay.
at the time the invention was made.
Right. So not just a lay person on the street, yeah. but an actual expert.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So if I'm inventing a new type of, you know, computer chip, it's how a computer chip engineer would understand the words in the patent.
That makes a lot of sense.
And so the court said, you know, the specification, that's where the inventor describes their invention in detail. It's super important for context.
Right, right.
But we shouldn't use it to, like, add extra limitations
okay.
to this claims unless the inventor was really clear about it.
Okay, so if Phillips just, you know, happened to use angled baffles as an example, that doesn't mean that every single baffle in the patent has to be angled.
Right, right.
It just means that was one way to do it.
Yeah, and the court really emphasized this, right? They said just showing examples in a patent doesn't automatically turn those examples into limitations.
Right.
Unless the inventor very clearly says, this is a requirement, it has to be this way.
Okay, that's an important distinction.
And this is where they kind of went after dictionaries a little bit.
Okay.
They called it, you know, over-reliance on dictionaries, armchair linguistics.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, we can't just grab Webster's dictionary right. and say, okay, this is what baffle means.
Right, right.
It's got to be based on the technical understanding.
Right, right.
So they looked at the word baffle and they said, you know, to somebody in the building arts, a baffle just means something that checks, impedes, or obstructs movement.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be at any particular angle.
Right, right.
90 degrees could totally do that.
Okay, so their message is pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
Look at these terms through the eyes of an expert and understand the words based on the whole patent, not just like a dictionary definition.
That's a perfect summary, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then they kind of double down on the importance of the intrinsic evidence.
Right.
Which is, you know, for our listeners, that means the claims themselves, the specification, the prosecution history.
Right, the stuff that's in the patent document.
Right, right. And so that's always our primary source.
Yeah, that's the best evidence of what the inventor meant. Mm-hmm. Right, so we don't go to outside dictionaries or expert testimony first, right?
Right, that's all secondary.
Right.
You know, you use that maybe to help understand the technology, but not to contradict what the patent itself says.
Okay, got it. So yeah. that's the majority. But, you know, it's with every case like this, you've got the dissenters, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So what did they have to say?
So Judge Laurie, he actually concurred in part and dissented in part, kind of an interesting one.
Okay.
He agreed with the majority's overall framework for claim construction, you know, starting with ordinary meaning, using the spec for context, all of that.
Okay.
But he said, in this case, I just don't think the 90-degree baffles fall under the patent.
Okay.
He said, look, Phillips talks about projectile deflection
right.
over and over again in the patent.
Okay.
It seems like that was his main focus, you know?
Okay.
So he's saying, I think the patent really is limited to those angled structures because that's what the inventor clearly cared about.
Okay, so his point wasn't that, you know, the majority was wrong about the overall framework for interpreting patents.
Yeah.
He just disagreed with how they applied it in this particular case.
Right, exactly. He's saying you got the right test, but I think you got the wrong answer.
Gotcha. Okay. And then we had Judges Mayer and Newman.
Right.
And they had a slightly different take.
Yeah, they had kind of a bigger picture concern about
right.
how claim construction is handled.
Right.
They said, look, you know, a lot of times this involves interpreting really technical stuff.
Right.
Like, what does a person of skill in the art understand? And they said, that's kind of a factual question.
Okay.
It's not just a pure legal question.
Okay.
So they thought the Federal Circuit should give more deference to the trial court, the district court,
okay,
because they're the ones who heard all the evidence. You know, they're closer to the facts.
Right, right.
So they said, you know, review it for clear error. Like, was the district court just totally off base? But don't just decide it all over again from scratch, which is what the Federal Circuit usually does.
Right, right. So they're basically saying that there's a specific role for the trial court to handle these factual questions, you know, and the Federal Circuit shouldn't just come in and completely overturn it.
Right. They're saying there needs to be some respect for the trial court's judgment.
Okay. That's interesting. So you've got a really important majority opinion. You've got, you know, an interesting concurrence and dissent. And then you've got a completely separate kind of dissent with a different take on the role of the courts.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show how complex this stuff is, right?
Right, right, absolutely. And I guess that brings us to, you know, why is this case, why is Phillips still, you know, so many years later considered such a landmark decision?
Well, I mean, first of all, it really set the standard for how we do claim construction. Like, courts across the country, they still follow that Phillips framework, starting with ordinary meaning, using the specification for context, all that.
Okay.
It brought some order to the chaos, you know?
Right, right. So before Phillips, was it just kind of the Wild West?
It was a little bit more unpredictable.
Okay.
And I think the other big thing is that it sent a message about dictionaries.
Okay.
It said, look, don't get too hung up on just the general definition. You got to think about the technical context.
Right, right. Look at it through the eyes of the expert in that field.
Exactly, yeah.
And has it changed how patent cases are actually litigated?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, how so?
So because it focuses so much on the intrinsic evidence, you know, the claims, the spec,
right,
it's actually made it harder to get summary judgment in patent cases.
Okay, so for our listener, summary judgment is when a court can rule on the case or part of the case without a full-blown trial.
Right, if there's just no real dispute about the facts.
Yeah.
But now, after Phillips, claim construction often involves these factual disputes, like how would an expert understand this term?
Right, right.
And that often requires more evidence, you know, maybe expert testimony. So it's harder for a judge to just say, okay, case closed.
Right. They have to really dig into the facts.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so for our listener, for our law student who's listening to this, you know, what are the key takeaways from Phillips that they should really remember as they go forward in their legal careers?
So the big thing is to treat the patent as a whole.
Okay.
You know, don't just look at the claims in isolation.
Okay.
Read the whole thing, understand the context.
Right.
The spec is your guide to what the inventor was trying to achieve.
Okay.
But don't treat every little example in the spec as a hard and fast limitation.
Right.
Unless the inventor really spelled that out.
Right, right.
And always come back to that question, you know?
Right.
What would an expert in the field understand this term to mean?
Okay, so it's about reading it all, understanding the technical expertise involved, and not getting bogged down in just dictionary definitions or overly narrow interpretations based on little pieces of the patent.
Yeah, you got to see the forest for the trees.
I like that. All right, so any final thoughts for our listener? Anything they can kind of take away and ponder on their own?
Yeah, so thinking strategically, especially if you're ever drafting patents, Phillips really shows how important it is to be crystal clear when you're trying to limit your claims.
Okay.
If there's a specific feature that's absolutely essential to your invention, put it right there in the claims.
Okay.
Don't just bury it in the spec and hope someone figures it out.
Right, right. Spell it out.
Exactly. Spell it out.
Good.
Because at the end of the day, it's all about the story the patent tells.
Right.
It's not just about individual words. It's about the invention as a whole, how it's described, how it's claimed.
Yeah.
And if you understand that story, you're well on your way to understanding claim construction and really patent law in general.
I love that. That's a great way to end this. You know, I think it's such a great point that it's not just about dissecting these words, but it's understanding, you know, the patent as a whole and understanding the story that it's trying to tell.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, this was fantastic. A great deep dive into Phillips.
Thanks for having me.
And I think our listeners are going to get a lot out of it.
I hope so.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time.
Sounds good.
On the Deep Dive.
Bye.